Verse 11, James chapter 4. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? And Father, we thank you for your word, so holy, so pure. It has such a refining effect upon those who desire to obey it. It also brings conviction to our hearts. Lord, all of us can think of a time when we have been offended by someone and tempted to speak evil about them. Some of us have spoken evil of others out of jealousy, out of anger, out of bitterness, unforgiveness. Some of us have not had real cause. And Lord, we thank you that you've been merciful to us. We thank you that we can look back to those times when we cried out and we asked for forgiveness, and you forgave us, and you even protected us from saying things that are not fitting for your children to be saying about one another. Lord, some of us may be going through a difficult time with somebody in the body or with somebody just in general. Your law says that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so, God, we need just a fresh perspective in how we ought to respond to the person who perhaps has us upset, or the person that we struggle with because we're threatened by them. We feel maybe a little jealous. We won't say anything to them, but we feel it. And so, God, we don't want to sin against you. We need your help. And I thank you, Lord, that we can come to you. You desire for us to be honest, and we can come into your presence, and if we humble ourselves and admit our sin, the errors of our ways, the wrong attitudes, you help those who humble themselves. As your word says, to humble ourselves before you, and you will lift us up, because you give grace to the humble. You resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. So, Lord, here we are. We're humbled before you. Lord, we ask that you would bring application to these verses, and the others we'll be reading. We ask that you would speak to us, that we would all receive from you, whether right now it's applicable because we're going through a challenge, an interpersonal challenge, or maybe down the road we will be, or we'll just need to hear this because we're going to need to remind someone else in the body of how important it is to not tear each other apart with our words. And so, God, we ask that you would do a great work within our hearts here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I titled this section, Don't Say That. I thought that would be a fitting title. And as I was preparing, I started to get these proverbs, if you would. I'll call them the Proverbs of Dave. I spend a lot of time alone preparing thinking. And so I thought I'd just share a very few proverbial thoughts with you. But you have to listen. Listen to what is being said here. Because If you don't understand what is being said, it might be just because you're not listening. And if after you listen, you still don't understand, then it could be me. It could be I'm just not gifted in coming up with my own proverbs. And you can ask me after, Dave, what did you mean by that? But listen, it's better to think it and not say it than to say it without thinking. Better yet, don't entertain thoughts about someone that would hurt them if they could hear your thoughts. Now, I'm going to move on. I want to share three things you won't find in the Bible, no matter how hard you try. Are you ready? Here's number one. Criticize and judge your brother as you would like your brother to criticize and judge you. Number two, it's okay to speak evil of your brethren because they're not as good as you are. Number three, if you want to find true happiness in your life, make it your life's goal to put your brothers down. Now, I'm going to interject another thought, and I'll do that after I share this. You know, the law tells us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And love does your neighbor no harm. When you really love and you're being influenced by the love of God, you do not seek or you do not wish to do your neighbor any harm, even though your neighbor may be harming you, if you know what I mean. Jesus often taught his disciples, and he teaches us also, that we are not to return evil for evil, but on the contrary, we are to return good for evil. We are to pray for those who spitefully hurt us, people who speak evil of us, because we're connected to him. We're to pray for them. And what I was going to say was, I was just looking at the word brothers and how we are to love our brothers, how we are to love one another. And I found it, I discovered, and perhaps you discovered the same thing, but I discovered if you look at the word brother from the end to the front, maybe if you have a pen, you could write it down right now. Write down the word brothers. I think it'll help make it a little more clear. But if you write down the word brothers, what you see from the end forward is, tell me if you see these words. Her, he, others, bro. You see all those words? You can almost say, her, he, others, bro. I even hear girls today in this day and age calling girls bro. But the point of it is we are to love one another because we're family. And the love of God teaches us that we are to love one another. And if it wasn't because we have such a problem with this, then the Word of God wouldn't teach us that it's something we must do and get into details. And one of the most unloving things that you and I can do is to speak evil of one another. There's always that temptation to speak evil of others, people that you love. Isn't it true? And you have to, if you want to have good relationships with key people in your life, you have to learn to not speak what you feel sometimes. You know by now, those of you who've been sitting under me, you know I'm pretty raw, I'm pretty real. I don't cover up and try to pretend that I'm something that I'm not. You know that. And there are times where perhaps someone in my family gets me upset. I love them, though. I love them very much. But there is that temptation when I'm upset to go and to talk to somebody else about somebody in my family. I know none of you ever been tempted like that. You know, perhaps years ago it was, I'm mama's boy. Now, I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm the baby, I'm mama's boy. So perhaps years ago, Mom, can I just share with you what's going on? I just need somebody to talk to. You know, years ago, last year. But there comes a certain point where you start to say, you know, I'm not going to speak evil or how I feel or what I'm thinking or what I'm upset about for this person because it's not good, it's not right, it's not. There's something that when you do it, after, don't you feel, why'd I say that about, I love them. And you learn, if you're wanting to grow and if you're really wanting to please God, you learn not to do that. Now, for example, in a young marriage, that's a temptation. Maybe the husband gets the wife upset, the wife gets, feels like she's got nobody to talk to, she'll call Mom and tell Mom, you know what that jerk did? And then what happens? This is what happens. What happens is Mom is upset because that little jerk hurt my daughter. But what happens? Well, what happens is the daughter and the husband reconcile. They're fine. Who's all upset now? Mom's upset. And Mom gets in the way, and that can just cause problems. You know, okay. Now let's take that out of family and let's bring it into another family, God's family. The same thing can happen. Maybe as the dynamics aren't the same, but the destruction could be way greater. Because daughter can say to the mother, hey, Mom, I'm sorry. I was upset. We're fine. He's okay. He's not as, it wasn't really that I did this and, you know, I kind of provoked her. And even if that's not true and wants to just make the husband look good for the reconciliation sense for the mom to be okay, it might take some of the blame. But oftentimes in the church, somebody gets upset, they spew, they start putting stuff in people's minds, and there is not that verifying, is that true? And some folks, in the minds of some folks, this person now is bad, is you know, there's a negative, and there's a negative image in the individual's mind about this person. And chances are, it's not true. And here in James, James is talking about when he says, do not speak evil. The original language, the word evil or speaking evil is connected to defamation of character, slander. And we understand that defamation is also called vilification, traducement, slander, libel, and that's for written, broadcast, or otherwise published words. Defamation is the communication of a statement that makes a claim expressly stated or implied to be factual that is not, generally is not true. They're false statements about somebody. Written slander, it could be spoken or written, rumors, malicious, false, and defamatory statement or report, slander somebody's good name. And oftentimes people do that in church, and church will say things that aren't true about somebody else or paint a picture that's a little twisted and distorted about somebody. Oftentimes the reason is because some of us can be, here's some reasons. One, we're jealous. We're jealous. I'm jealous. Now, this is not an admission from the pulpit. I'm just speaking in first person, okay? So I'm jealous. Why are you jealous? I'm jealous because I've been coming to the church now for 15 years. You have? The church has only been here for 6. Yes, I have. And the other person, she's been coming to the church for 2 months. And everybody, they gravitate towards her and, you know, they give her attention. And I feel like, now, I'm not going to say that to anybody. But since you asked, I'm just letting you know that I'm jealous of Susie Q. And I'm not going to tell you I'm jealous, but what I'm going to say is, I'm not sure about her. Something, her walk. The other day we were outside and she walked and she had like a nightclub walk. I don't know. We need to be praying for Susie Q. You know, but really it is, the root of it is that that person's getting more attention than me. I feel, so it could be jealousy. Could be unforgiveness. It could be something that happened that the individual got hurt. I got hurt by something Susie Q said, and I haven't forgiven her. So in her face, oh, hi, Susie Q. Oh, how you doing? I'm doing great. Forgive me if that's too expressive. But then when Susie Q's not around, hey, we got to pray for Susie Q. But really, I'm upset. I'm still unforgiving. I'm holding a grudge in my heart. I mean, there could be various reasons why we try to paint ugly pictures of one another in each other's minds. Now, I'm not saying that we are doing that. I'm just saying, you better not be doing that. You better not be doing that about me. I better not be doing that about you. James says, don't speak evil of one another, brethren. And he says, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, really what he's doing is he's speaking evil of the law and judges the law. See, because the law is established to guide us to a certain end, and that is to love one another. We are to love one another. And speaking evil of one another in a malicious, slanderous way, that's very, very unloving. And so our actions and what we're saying, what we're doing, is going against the Word of God, and that's a bad thing. And says that we judge the law in the sense that we are putting ourselves above the law because, you know, we feel that the law doesn't apply to us. I can do this. I can speak evil of so-and-so. And now we don't think that way. I mean, we won't say that, but that's the way God views it, that we put ourselves above the law because we are all responsible to obey the law. We're all in this together. There's only one lawgiver. And I am not in a position to usurp authority over the law of God. I'm in a position to obey the law of love. And I need to change my thinking, my attitudes, in order to get in harmony with the law and not be preoccupied with Susie Q, be preoccupied with Davy Q. And let God take care of Susie Q. He says, but if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And again, there is one lawgiver. And God is able to save or to destroy. God is able to. How many times, let me ask you, how many times have you blown it? Come on now. Yeah. 7 times 70? And more. And how many times have you gone to our gracious God and said, oh God, have mercy on me, forgive me, I'm sorry. And how many times has God been able to forgive you and to restore you and to take you when you were fallen and you were hurting and you maybe made a mess out of your life, a bad witness for a couple years, you were just strayed away, and he, when your heart was repentant, he nurtured you and restored you back into fellowship with him. Isn't he able to do that? You know, love is able to do that. And when I am unloving and I am speaking garbage, that is not going to help anybody. But God is able to help. God is able to, he's done it for me. If he's done it for me, if he's forgiven me of the things that I've done that are evil, whether it's been recent or in years past, who am I? Who am I to withhold forgiveness or to have a grudge or to speak faults or to paint a twisted picture of my brothers and sisters in the minds of anybody else? Who am I? Who am I? And that's how he kind of ends verse 12. He says, who are you? Who are you to judge another? I love James. This is a real practical book, just raw. James also, I see him as a little sarcastic. He could be sarcastic, but I don't think it's ungodly. I don't think, if my description of what is seeing is perceived as wrong, then take my description out. But I just happen to see that there's a, who are you? Who do you think you are? He says in other verses, you believe in God? Well, you do well. The devils believe and they tremble. That to me sounds like a little sarcasm. Like, okay, good for you. I kind of like that, though. I like that he's straightforward. He's blunt. He'd be the kind of guy that you'd sit here and listen to and you'd feel all beat up but built up at the same time after the message. Now, you talk about slander. You know, there's the two sides of it. There's the side of the one slandering and saying evil. And maybe we've been on that side and we've been forgiven. We've come to understand that we're mature and it's wrong and I shouldn't have said those things and I'm sorry, God. And we've grown out of that. We're not gossiping. We're not spreading things that aren't true about people. We've matured out of that. That's good. So we're out of that side where we're the ones causing, and we're into the side now that some of us could be on the receiving end of it. So maybe you're in the workplace and people are speaking evil of you. And it's because you are a Christian. Nobody likes that. I worked in a secular company for several years, and I was a Christian. People made fun of me. People said things about me. I didn't like that. And there's a part of you that wants to retaliate, but we're called not to retaliate. And so now we move to the other side, and what if you're being slandered? Well, let me encourage you, brothers and sisters, if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, people are going to speak evil of you. People are going to misunderstand your motives. People are going to misjudge you. And they did it to Jesus. And I find comfort when I see my Lord endure slander and the things that I've experienced too. I look in the scriptures to find the Lord and others who've gone through it. And I see how they reacted, how they responded, and I find comfort in it. So you could turn there. You don't have to. You could write down the reference. But Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 through 24, Jesus, they slandered him. They spoke evil of him. And when people slander you and speak evil of you, you can't let that control you. You can't. Maybe you're coming out of a bad relationship and, you know, you're having a hard time trying to just process everything. And now the person that you used to be in a good relationship with, now they're saying a bunch of garbage about you and just... And it's painful. And the natural thing is to want to protect your reputation, defend yourself. And I've been there. You know, it's better to leave it in God's hands. It's hard, but it's better to leave it in God's hands and wait for the Lord to vindicate you than for you to take matters into your own hands. You'd be a fool if you did that. You're better off just waiting. Remember, the battle is whose? It's the Lord's. And even if you're being slandered, people are just tearing you up and down, and there's might be consequences. You just do what's right regardless of what is going on. Keep doing what's right. And eventually, I can tell you from my own experience, God will vindicate you, and God, he'll take care of you. He will see you through. He will see you through. Jesus, he went through it. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us. He's praying for you. But in verse 22 of chapter 12, and I'm not going to get into the story, but then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Sorry. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." Is that true? Absolutely not. That's defamatory. Or Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. Jesus said that people were accusing him of being a glutton and a wine bibber. He said, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a wine bibber, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" There's always somebody who's going to talk junk. And I know you and I would like to, you know, pray those prayers, "Break their teeth in their mouth, O God." But that's probably not always the best response. Especially after learning that Jesus says, "Pray for those who spitefully hurt you." Paul, he was slandered. Romans chapter 3, verse 5 through 8, Paul says, "But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, which shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath?" He says, "I speak as a man." Certainly not. "For then how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, 'Let us do evil that good may come'?" Now here's the point. "As we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say." So there were some folks that were slandering Paul and saying that Paul was out there teaching, "Hey, let us do evil that good may come." Some Jews who were saying that Paul does not adhere to the law and twisting the ministry and the motives of Paul and judging Paul. Now, let's switch gears here. Let's go and let's think about judging. Again, let me just put a period or maybe just a repeat at the end of the idea of slander. Again, if people are speaking junk about you, don't let it control you. Don't let it motivate you to respond with evil. Because you may find that in the end, you'll make matters worse. Just don't do it. Pray and trust that God will take care of the matter. And you do what's right in spite of how you're being treated. You keep doing what's right in God's eyes. And God will take care of the matter. Now, when you think about judging and talking about what we were talking about earlier, how we are not to speak evil of one another. You know, there are times that you and I must judge matters. Don't get me wrong. The Bible talks about judging. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. A sin is to be judged. When someone is doing something that is in direct opposition of what the Scriptures teach, and that person does not want to get in harmony with God's will, Jesus talks about how to handle those types of matters in Matthew chapter 18. And there are certainly things that need to be corrected. It's not just take all judgment and just throw it out. Like sometimes you may hear someone say, the Bible says don't judge, lest you be judged. But they don't know what the intent and what Jesus was talking about. And he was talking about hypocritical judgment. And that's often how we are. We can be hypocritical. We'll judge somebody, but we're guilty of doing the same thing. It's like this. It's like the dancer that says of the prostitute that that's nasty what she does. That's just wrong. For a girl to prostitute herself, that's just wrong. But I dance. It's classy. And I take off all my clothes in front of men, but it's classy. But with that lady out there selling her body, I would never do that. That's wrong. And there are people like that, that think that way. Or, I can't stand all Puerto Ricans. I'm Puerto Rican, so. All Puerto Ricans, they're a bunch of, all they do is like to run around and stab people. You know. Yeah. You know, judging other people and all people have this issue of sin, you know. And the Jews were very, very judgmental of other nations. And they were hypocritical. Some of the people, they were religious hypocrites. And so, you know, Jesus was talking about hypocritical judgment. You know, don't judge people. Oftentimes we're all guilty of doing the same. We're all guilty. We're guilty. And instead of judging people, we need to be merciful and kind. Now, if something's wrong, you got to judge a matter and you got to deal with it in a godly, biblical way. So on the topic of judging, Paul, he was judged. I'll tell you, there's nothing worse than you just trying to do what God's called you to do and you got people that are scrutinizing you and scrutinizing your motives and saying that this is why you're doing what you're doing. And then going and talking to other people, forming little groups, little slander sessions. They call it fellowship. I don't call it fellowship. Hey, let's all get together. And then what they do is they don't fellowship. They slandership. They just get together and start talking junk about people. And see, God knows the motives. That's one thing you and I do not have. The ability to judge a person's motives. We can't see what is going on. What motivated that person? And I think more times if people were to think, what motivated that person? Maybe what was motivating them was something good and genuine. And maybe the way they went about it might look a little funny, might look like they're motivated, but before we're quick to judge and quick to talk junk about somebody, we should be careful. We should be careful. You know, for example, the person who comes in and they're really excited and they maybe got saved a few months ago and they come in and they're excited about something that happened and, you know, they want to give something. And they come up and, oh, I just want to share and, you know, God put it on my heart to give this. And, you know, and they're talking around other people. And so other people think, man, the way they did that, just going up in front of, you know, the whole congregation and sharing all this, and they just want attention for themselves. How do you know that? It might look that way, but how? God knows what their true motive is. And so Paul, he had to deal with people judging him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, he says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And stewards of the mysteries of God. And he says, moreover, it is required in a steward that one be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you. He mentions four different types of judgment. The first judgment is congregational judgment. And I'm not saying congregational in the sense of everybody's involved in this, but it comes from the congregation, the church. And he says, but with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you. In other words, you know, you judging me, you criticizing my motives, because the church at Corinth, he planted that church, and there were some folks that came into that church and polluted the minds of the people against Paul, and he had to defend himself. You read 2 Corinthians, oh my goodness, you feel terrible that people would put Paul under such scrutiny. But he says, to me it's a small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. So there's the church and then there's the secular. Because he was in front of kings and he was often in prison and people were judging. He would stand before magistrates and have to give a... And he says, it's a small thing. People misjudge my motives in the church. People judge or misjudge my motives in the world. And then in fact, I do not even judge myself. So that's the third, self-judgment. And he says, for I know nothing against myself. In other words, I got a clear conscience. Yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. And that's God bless you, that's the fourth judgment of the Lord. The Lord is the one ultimately who we all are going to have to stand before and give an account. And I got enough on my plate where I don't need to be worrying about you. And I'm sure you got enough on your plate. You shouldn't be worrying about what's motivating me. And if something is not right in your life, I can tell you that eventually if you don't get right, God will expose it. And the same is true of me. If something's not right in my life, in time, God will expose it. And I'll tell you, God is so gracious, but when he exposes, whoo, none of us want to be on that side of things. So if any of us are doing anything that's not right, it's better to deal with it yourself and deal with it now than to just keep going and going and going. Because one day, God, your sin will find you out, and it can be brutally embarrassing. So it's best to deal with it. Because the Lord, one day, we're going to have to stand and give an account to him. He says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. Verse 5. Who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of each heart. One day, we're all going to stand before the Lord, and God is going to reveal what the true motivations were. And either Dave Crespo, all you have to show is just that I saved you. That's all you have. Because everything else, your motives were so wrong, is wood, hay, and stubble, and it's all going to burn. That would be horrible, wouldn't it? All this time and effort and all the work, all the sacrifice. If All of this, what you see, church planting and momentum and seeing people come to Christ and seeing God do some amazing things. But it's all wrong motive. That would be horrible. And one day you find out it's all wood, hay, and stubble. I don't want that. I want to hear, well done, you good and faithful servant. I want gold. I want to be able to bring something of value that when it's scrutinized by the Lord, it withstands the test of scrutiny, and I just don't get in by the seat of my pants. Who wants that? And so, he says, God's going to deal with all the motivations of people. So let God be the judge. Don't be hypocritical in your judgment. Don't slander and speak evil of each other. Don't judge one another with a wrong motivation in an unscriptural, carnal way. It's not for you and for me to be judging people. That's God's place, and we don't want to usurp the authority. He says, then each one's praise will come from God. Another scripture, Romans chapter 14, and I'm just going to read verse 4. He says, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Verse 13 of Romans chapter 14, he says, therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. Now we move forward to the rest of the verses in this chapter as we're soon to close. And I titled this section, verses 13 through 17, The Overconfident Futurist. Come now, you who say, verse 13, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so he's addressing the individual who does not consider God in his future. He doesn't take God into consideration when he's making plans. He's just making plans as if the future is a guarantee. Do you know what a most uncertain thing is? I know some of you know, so don't say it, because I told you earlier. But do you know what a most uncertain thing is? A sure thing. Think about it. Is there really such thing as a sure thing? I guess in the minds of some. Someone put it this way, there is no such uncertainty as a sure thing. How do you know that there's going to even be a tomorrow for you? How do I know that there's going to be a 10 o'clock for me? I don't know that. And for you and for me as Christians, we are to include God in all of our decision-making concerning the future. And we are to make sure that God's leading and God's guiding, because we can hurt ourselves if we don't. If we don't get God's input and we just go by blind faith, oh boy, you can really hurt yourself. You could set yourself back. You set yourself financially back. You could set yourself back emotionally, mentally, because you're hurting, you're regretting, so it's kind of like a setback. You can relationships can be affected in a negative way because going forward without really, really taking God into consideration, self-willed. We got to be very, very careful. I've made those mistakes. I know what it's like to have blind faith and then biblical faith. I learned the tough lesson of making decisions, but blind faith. Blind faith is not biblical. Blind faith looks like this. You know that sign? I was thinking about it, and that sign said go. So I feel that maybe God's speaking to me through that sign. And then I was driving, and a license plate had the number 1, 2, 3, and then it had a G and an A and then an O. The G and the O, they just, like, God just brought them out to me. Go. You know, and sometimes that's how we are. God, speak to me. Lord, I need an answer. And just open the Russian roulette, you know. And he went out and hung himself. Oh, no, that's not a good one. Let me find one that's better. Oh, this one's good. Go. You know, I've been there. I learned the hard way, but thank God I didn't go. Thank God that God did something that really caused me to realize. Now, that's me. That's me. I'm not speaking to anybody here. Whatever you got going on in your life, I'm not trying to speak into your life. Ooh, no, I don't play games like that. You're your own free moral agent. You make your own decisions. All I'm saying, I gave a personal illustration that biblical faith and blind faith are two different things, and biblical faith looks like this. God says that I'm supposed to live a certain way. This area's gray. He doesn't give me a specific answer. He doesn't say, oh, put your right leg in your pants first. Wear the green shirt. No, he gives you choices to make. And if you make a choice and it all fumbles, you can't turn around and say, God, why'd you lead me out here? You did this to me. I was believing that you were leading me because of that sign and that license plate and that scripture. And then blame God and get upset with God. No, you're a free moral agent. If you want to go do something, if God's not shutting the doors, then you go. But don't blame God when it doesn't work out. You made the decision. And you just live godly in Christ Jesus wherever you go. But you don't want to use blind faith, because you can end up, that'll backfire on you. And then you're blaming God and other people for your own decisions. And so, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 and 5, 3 through, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know, what I'm learning, and I'm still learning, that if I just obey him, he works things out. If I consider him in my plan, and I say, Lord, if this is what you want, and I pray you continue to open the doors. If you don't want this, you close the door. I don't want to get emotionally involved. I'm just trusting in you. And if you close the door, great. Save me. Protect me from making a mistake. Protect me, Lord. I'm not going to be strong-headed and say, you know, I'm just going to do it. It's going to all work out. I'm just going to go, God, he'll pick up, you know, he'll clean up my mistakes. He may, but it can be a painful, painful experience. He says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Amen. And that's the difference. The biblical faith, you experience God strengthening you through the journey. Blind faith, it's like your vitality gets zapped. And you want to blame somebody, and by nature, we end up blaming God or doing what Adam did. The woman you gave me. I got to blame somebody. And then the last scripture that I'm going to share is found in Psalms chapter 90, verse 12, where I believe it is Moses who says, teach us to realize the brevity of life, that we may grow in wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Help us to realize that this life is but a vapor, and I can't be overconfident about the future. Life is uncertain. One day it could be great, the next day it could be horrible. And if I live believing that it's a sure thing and tomorrow is going to be, I'm setting myself up. I need to be believing in Christ and asking God to teach me to make the most of the time that I have. And right now, all that I know is I'm here right now. I might not be here tomorrow. I'm here right now. Help me to make the best of right now, and help me to fear you above all things. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is sound. It brings a sense of it just puts a foundation under our feet where we feel we can walk with security when we build our lives upon your word, your principles. Lord, I pray that you'd help us if anyone here has spoken evil against someone recently. I pray that you would be merciful to them. Lord, I pray for those that perhaps are on the receiving side, whether in the workplace or within the family, a brother, or within the family of God, another member in a different church is speaking evil of. Help us to just love, to be patient, to not return evil for evil. Give us the strength that we need. And Lord, help us to not judge people hypocritically, trying to judge the motives of people. Lord, forgive us for when we do that. And when we share our ideas about what we think is motivating somebody else, forgive us, Lord. Help us to speak truth. Help us to speak those things that are for necessary edification. And Lord, help us also to number our days, or teach us to make the most out of the time that we do have, and not be so cocky or confident about future plans that we exclude you. And help us to gain a heart of wisdom, that we may serve you, and that we may acknowledge you in all our ways, believing that you will direct our steps. Lord, even now, there might be things going on in the lives of some folks, and I pray, God, that you would help them, and help me too, Lord, because we plan our ways, but Lord, we want you to direct our steps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.